Our scripture today comes from the Gospel of Luke in the first chapter, verses 5 through 25. Hear the word of the Lord. In the days of King Herod of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah who belonged to the priestly order of Abijah. His wife was a descendant of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. Both of them were righteous before God, living blamelessly according to all of the commandments and regulations of God. But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren, and both were getting on in years. Once when Zechariah was serving as priest before God and his section was on duty, he was chosen by lot, according to the custom of the priesthood, to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and to offer incense. Now, at the time of the incense offering, the whole assembly of the people were praying outside. Then there appeared to him an angel of the Lord standing to the right of the altar of incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was terrified and fear overwhelmed him. But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid, Zechariah, for your prayer has been heard. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you will name him John. You will have joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He must never drink wine or strong drink. Even before his birth, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. He will turn many of the people of Israel to the Lord, their God. With the spirit and power of Elijah, he will go before him to turn the hearts of parents to their children and the disobedience to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Zechariah said to the angel, "How will I know that this is so? For I am an old man, and my wife is getting on in years." The angel replied, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I have been sent to speak to you to bring you this good news. But now, because you do not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their time, you will become mute, unable to speak until the day that these things occur." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah and wondering at his delay in the sanctuary. When he did come out, he could not speak to them. And they realized that he had seen a vision in the sanctuary. He kept motioning to them and remained unable to speak. When his time of service was ended, he went back to his home. After those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived, and for 5 months she remained in seclusion. She said, "This is what the Lord has done for me when he looked favorably on me and took away the disgrace I have endured among my people." May God bless this reading, hearing, and our understanding of this, his holy word. Amen. Let us pray. Father God, open our minds, open our souls, open our hearts, and may all that is said, heard, and understood this day be pleasing to you. In Christ's name, amen. Advent is a season of waiting. We await the Christ child coming to be born anew in our hearts once again and to be reminded of God creating a new heaven and a new earth. We wait for Christ to return to set everything wrong back to being right. But the waiting of Advent means a little bit more than just that. You see, the waiting of Advent is not a passive thing. Passive waiting can lead us to lives that are filled with fear, fear of what may happen, fear of inadequacy, fear of not being able to make a difference. These are lies where we wait for something outside of us to occur that will take and increase our hope, increase our peace, increase our joy, and increase our love. Passively waiting robs us of the opportunity to have these things right now in our lives. We need to be actively looking to develop hope, peace, joy, and love. So that no matter what happens in our future, we are ready to take and to handle it. Instead of waiting in our comfortable chair in the living room, we need to be more like that person that waits on us at our favorite restaurant, checking in. Dead battery. Okay. Plan B. Instead of waiting on our comfortable chairs in the living room, we need to be like that wait person at our favorite restaurant, stopping by every once in a while just to check in. We need to be, "Hi, Lord. Anything that I can do for you, anything that perhaps you would like me to learn?" By doing this, it allows God to make us ready for whatever may come in our lives. It means that He will be able to use us to make a difference in the world. Our series for this Advent is Angels Among Us, Do Not Be Afraid. And as I mentioned, we will be looking at the message that the angels brought. They brought news, but they also brought an invitation to actually be part of the story. God is going to do thus and such, and He wants you to be a part of it. He wants you to be involved in what He is doing and in the story that is unfolding. Each time that an angel appeared, the person that they appeared to was filled with fear. I can't blame them. I mean, if an angel popped up, I'd be afraid. It wasn't an everyday occurrence. But part of the angel's message was encouragement to get over the fear that they felt, because God needs you to do something. Each angel says, "Do not be afraid." But how do we get past the fear that grips us on almost a daily basis? We need to cultivate more hope, more peace, more joy, more love, and more life in ourselves. We need to do this so that we can in turn spread these things to the people that we come across on an everyday basis. So today we're going to take and we're going to focus on hope. So in our scripture today, we hear the story about Zechariah and Elizabeth. Zechariah was a priest. Elizabeth was his wife. They both were descended from Aaron. And Elizabeth was Mary's cousin. Now, this would seem to be a very strange place to start our Advent journey, but it is a story that talks about the hope of things to come. There's a lot of parallels between the story of Zechariah and Elizabeth, and if you think back to the story of Abraham and Sarah and to other people throughout the Old Testament, both of them were childless and they were getting on in years. Now, in the society that Zechariah and Elizabeth were a part of, being childless caused much grief. Their friends and neighbors would look and they would speculate, why did these people do that God has not blessed them with children? What did they do? God surely must be punishing them. And Zechariah and Elizabeth had been praying for a while that God would grant them children. Now, as was mentioned, Zechariah was a priest of the Abijah order. And this order was broken into 24 parts or 24 sections. And each section took their turn attending to the temple in Jerusalem. And during one of the times of Zechariah's section, Zechariah was chosen by lot to go into the Holy of Holies and there to offer the incense offering for the people that were outside and praying. And while he was just going about the normal things that needed to be done, all of a sudden Gabriel appears to him. And Zechariah is understandably startled by this, is most definitely terrified, and I would say that he is gripped a little bit by fear. And again, I don't blame him. If Gabriel showed up, I'd just go to pieces. Or as y'all say in the South, I'd have a come apart. And the angel says, guess what, Zechariah? God has heard your prayers. Elizabeth is going to bear you a son, and you are going to name him John, and he will bring you great joy and great gladness. And he will do this not only for Elizabeth and you, but he will do it for all of the people. He will proclaim the Savior's coming. And he will prepare them for the hope that is coming. Now, how would you feel if you were Zechariah at this moment? You got an angel showing up. You got an angel saying, hey, God has heard you. And God is going to grant you a son that will not only be your pride and joy, but will also be the pride and joy of the community spreading God's word. Well, Zechariah was in disbelief. He doubted what he was hearing, and I think that he was a little bit afraid, not only because he's got Gabriel standing there, but also because Gabriel has just told him that he is going to be a parent. But how can this be? I am an old man, and my wife is not far behind me. That's a brave man that comments on his wife's age, by the way. Zechariah, you know, was probably scared of having a child when he was so old and afraid because Elizabeth was also getting up in years. I don't think Zechariah was quite ready to accept this message of hope that he had been given by Gabriel. So, Gabriel strikes him mute until the birth of his son. Now, the difference between Zechariah and us here today is that we know what it truly means to have hope. We know the hope that comes from knowing Jesus. We have heard his words and we know his promises. We know the stories of all the people who was being filled with the hope of Jesus, moved past their fears by clinging on to that hope. And by doing so, they went out and they changed the world. In many cases, doing it one person at a time. After Elizabeth gave birth to John, the family wanted to follow in the tradition at the time and name him Zechariah after his father. And Elizabeth said, no, 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 no. He is to be called John. And the family was confused by this. And they asked Zechariah what name his son should be given, because surely a woman wouldn't know the answer to that. And Zechariah wrote on a tablet, his name is John. And suddenly, he was able to speak once again. I think Zechariah finally accepted the message of hope that he had been given by Gabriel. And because of that, he was able to speak again. A little further on in the first chapter of Luke, verses 67 through 69, it talks about Zechariah's prophecy. I encourage you to read that. They are words of a man that is suddenly filled with hope. And in this prophecy, Zechariah acknowledges that the Savior is coming and that God has fulfilled the covenant given to Abraham. In verses 78 and 79, Zechariah concludes by saying this, by the tender mercy of our God, the dawn from on high will break upon us to light, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. The hope of God breaks upon us, fills us, and testifies to God's power and helps us to push past the fear and to do what God would have us to do. As we go through life, we inevitably will take and we will experience doubt and we will experience fear. It's part of being a human being. And we see this in so many people around us today. In these times, let us remember that we carry God's hope within us. And by this hope, we can move past our fears. And we can be messengers of hope that God wants us and would have us to be. Amen.